put all of both hats on knowledge of the subject that is before us in the readings. When all we expect that we begin our readings in this chapter, we're in the descent of the Holy Spirit of God. That which is ultimately termed in the epistles the body of Christ to which we belong was first brought into being. Christ was glorified. The Holy Spirit of God comes from a glorified Christ into this world. And while on the other day we have formed here, all that has come to light in Christianity, this chapter gives us traces of the kingdom, the assembly, the house, as well as the body, the subject we are dealing with. They're all found here in the power of the Spirit of God. And it is here where the beginning of that word takes place. I'm assured from the outset we should be reminded that whatever the Spirit has formed in this world is formed in direct association and detachment to Christ's glory that brings to light this wonderful truth we are seeking to deal with, the truth of the body. And we must say just one point as to why we read at the beginning of this chapter and then again toward the end. And that it was obvious, first of all, is the work of the Spirit that forms this body and ultimately, as Peter said, brings us into it. But it's the gospel from our side that brings us into it. That is, it's the Spirit of God from God's side and the reception of the gospel from our side that has brought us in as we find ourselves tonight in the middle of the body of Christ. We have come here in the very first verse of our chapter into the ways of God in this world. I'd rather bring the second law reminded us about the purpose of God being effected in Christ. But I think it's well to note in the first verse where we began tonight, we have just a little touch of the dispensation of the ways of God in this world. That is, on this remarkable day of Pentecost accomplishing was fully in progress at this wonderful event.
Yes.
I think while it's quite an aside in relation to ourselves, we have often indicated that in the first chapter of the book of Acts, we see the fulfillment of the Passover, Christ's suspension about his time. The feast of unleavened bread, and the sheep of first fruits, Christ's bosom, and ascending to glory. Now we come to the feast of Pentecost and the formation of the new meeting, according to the time, that to us has become these other things, including the body. Peter standing up and proclaiming the gospel is pretty much like the feast of trumpets. And the wonderful result at the end of the chapter as just a little picture of the Feast of Tabernacles brought about in the power of the Spirit of God. So we find, I think, in these two chapters, the complete program of God, as it were, presented to this nation as it stood at the moment, and incidentally the formation of something that was not identified with the nation of Israel, but even the very rest of the way of God, as the Holy Spirit.
Maybe some here, but don't just type on this one. The body was formed.
Well, there are so many reasons to that, Mr. Redmates, that we want to look into in various chapters. It is formation that we have mainly in view tonight. You see, we can't say just in perhaps a few words just why the body was formed. We have to outline something of the chapters we're about to go into. And our friendship with the Lord spared us, it has been formed for the pleasure of the God, for the will of God, the vessel for the Spirit, for the display of Christ. This, I hope, will all come before us. But it's more as forming them as a spiritual entity that we have in the middle. The difficulty with the sunlight is to make a rather sweeping sort of statement of mind that the body is for that. And that is only a very small portion of what the body is designed to. And that's what we wrote in the succeeding written to bring it up.
This is the point that would not only give God pleasure when we are the completion of Christ, but I would think the idea that will ascend the relation of Christ, the fear of him, because of yourself, I think of the Bible, all of his future.
I think that we ought to lay hold of tonight is the one accord with Martha. For probably one of the outstanding pictures in relation to the body wherever we find it is the fall of you.
I suppose the thing that produced that, it would be the reception of the person himself. We haven't got anything in the way of a different thought or a different mind with regard to any of them. One thought is centered on Christ himself, isn't it? It seems to be this that's a preparation now for the formation of this mystical body.
I think we can say, Mr. Dorey, then why don't we just briefly outline that Spirit's work at the beginning, their movement and answer at the end. That has already begun in these men, and their movement Christward that brought them now what we sometimes venture to call the nucleus of this thing in its first formation of the world.
When you say that
we're that's what again out of the back of my mind, if you're going to try and solve it all the useful work. But we need to find out that it has come to light in the midst of God, you're probably just running over that again. You're incidentally bringing in something that wasn't quite connected with the word of God. But this way I mentioned that, of course, there's something in relation to his purpose that can only come to light now. I mean, you won't find the body of Christ in the 23rd of Leviticus. You won't find the people anymore. But what we are learning today in the life of the Spirit of God is bringing us, that even when God will give an outline of his way, and what certainly is an interesting chapter, he had in reserve certain secrets that only come into light now. Mystery. No wonder Paul called it the mystery hidden in God.
Was joined to the Lord by one Spirit.
Yes, born in the world. Right at this time, you are born in the world. Yes, right. That's from Corinthians, the thing that is joined to the Lord is one Spirit.
Yes. What's the other Spirit? It was a union.
Well, it's both the union and unity in the body.
The union is joined to the Lord.
Right. There's a distinction, of course, between unity and union. Unity involves two persons, union is more a single entity. But both are true of the body.
That's
that this was the quite a big fear of being done to the Lord. But in this chapter, we have to see the body before the teaching of the body. If we endeavor not to accept the middle of the teaching of the body, we will be in difficulty. I think, as we said, you're going to find, you see, every preacher in Christianity, the kingdom is the first one that comes to life and testimony. He made that same Jesus whom Jesus crucified before. And Christ, in that Romans 10 of the 8 and a half, verse 21. And it shall come to them that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Quote in Romans 10, you remember. We have fellowship and bread connected with the house. The breaking of bread was connected with the body. I don't think the apostle's doctrine is connected with the church. Second of Ephesians. But upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. I think we get. We might say just a mark of all these things. That's very much that. By your remark, that yes, we do get a fresh beginning in the way of. I was struck just the other day in the letter of Leviticus in noticing that the word of the sheep, the first fruit, is the same word at the beginning. It is normal, isn't it, that word? The same word, apparently, sheep, is in Genesis 1 in the beginning. And one just wondered if that didn't fortify what you were saying, that until there was a man at God's right hand, there couldn't be this beginning in the way of God in the spirit of God's work. The spirit was not yet.
Suppose the suggestion in verse 10 that it isn't that it's something new that's coming in, it's not something that's emerging from something else.
I was going to be further than that. Certainly. Just to show that we have something here that's another problem, you know. Here's something that has an immediate source of creating in the descent of the Spirit of God. It wasn't something they grew into, nor was it something that Judaism developed into. Suddenly there's a movement made and you begin.
Not from earlier.
No, that's in it, right? It didn't live all about the Judaism. And I think that was in Mr. Richardson's mind that this company was at least unified in this fact, Christ was before every one of them. And this sound now comes from heaven, not earth because Christ was there, but it does come from heaven. It comes from Zion. It was in Jerusalem. It was really in Zion. It was happening as to a physical material. Geographical position was concerned. It didn't begin there, it began from heaven itself. Something this thing from the very outset as being a heavenly.
That's important.
So, yes,
point.
This is one of the key words yet that has to be. In the ninth chapter, you get a light of heaven. In the tenth chapter, you get a vessel. All out of heaven. This is something beginning with a man now glorified in God's right hand and the Spirit of God makes this.
The good news is that the dirty not going into heaven has come out.
I suppose 9/10 of that statement is true. 9/10 of it. Well, as a matter of fact, you'll be in heaven, you know, but you didn't come out of heaven. You'll be there. I think we just have to doubt that we, first of all, you and I were in heaven, but we didn't begin. But But certainly, I mean, everything that we have when we are there will be better. Oh, yes, will be displayed. And in fact, John Alfred French very carefully pointed that out in one of his letters, in one sort of sense of reason.
Mind you, when you look at the scripture, time by the 21st Revelation, having the glory of God and coming out of heaven, there is a picture that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, that's the 9th, I suppose, Lord. Oh, that's not the day. God walked this way. And if you ask the book in the light of Christ, the blood begins to come.
Well, it's God that giveth it to body, but it had pleased him. Because every seed is his own body, a seed of Christ. Going into that.
Right hand of God, it would be good to
couldn't have been formed otherwise.
No, the faith you've got to get a man in the thought.
Yes.
United.
Yes, right. Yes, the Spirit was not yet, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Not only ascended, but glorified. That's why we insisted on that then from heaven. Heaven. From earth.
The fire gives a thought to another reason, another question. Thinking of that, when Peter was walking on the water, he saw the wind west. Didn't see the waves. He saw the wind west. And one has in mind that that was the evil influence that was moving the wind. The fear was fire. Thinking of judgment at the evening. That's what it
is. In the observing the prophet, we are reminded that he gathered up the wind in his fist.
Yeah.
And this movement here is consequent upon a man in a place where Satan said this can be now shed forth, which is very seen.
As a point,
well, we literally contrast, you remember, Mr. Mink, between the descent of the Spirit and this character upon the disciples, and the descent, of course, upon the Lord and the dove. Yes, contrasting the two characters. There, the emblem of purity, couldn't come upon them and the emblem of purity. No. It comes out in a judicial aspect. A man was proven down the Bible as a fire because it's an witness in there, we say, judicial, for the want of a better word. It was judicial in them, the setting aside of something in them, but they didn't maintain what was of God in them. The testimony to Israel of what they've done to Christ was all coming out in the testimony of the Spirit. And indeed the Lord spoke of them in judicial character in the 16th chapter of John, in relation to the world and judgment. Judgment. When the Spirit comes. And that's why our Spirit has what Paul has thought about these words and come like as a fire. Because the Spirit being subjective, not objective, being subjective, both in men and in their testimony, must sustain the holy words of God subjectively and in the presentation of the gospel and in the service.
Doesn't even with the Unique Doctrine again?
Well, that's okay. It is the Pentecost was the Unique Doctrine.
Well, I've heard this, but we have no other men.
Yes. Yes, right.
Go on. But it also mentions that a sin offering and a priest offering, which doesn't come out in connection with the first group. You know, connection with the sheep of first fruit to get only a burnt offering and a meal offering, but when you reach the meal offering, you get in addition the sin offering and the peace offering.
In fact, you get every offering in the young men offering.
Well, I meant you deserve
it. Yes, if you get every offering, it doesn't all come in with that. You see, it is all coming in with that. But whatever we were going on to say, of course, about the lesson, bacon, but never to get it. It had been tested by the fire and mortifying.
The fire was not a fire effect for that. I think that's the point.
The word that we have here in fulfilling is Leroma, Leroma. And I'm going to gather the filling of verse 2 in a collective way. On the building of verse 4 in an individual way. So, I think we anticipate a little doubting in regarding the Spirit of God in an objective capacity whatsoever. I mean, when they say, well, the Spirit fills this room. All right, but you see, it fills the heart of everybody that is in the room. All right. But as far as I'm aware, the Spirit has never regarded in an objective capacity. That is personal.
You see then that if it were in an objective capacity, it would have an objective way.
Well, that's it, you see, that's the danger. And I think myself is doing this mind of the Spirit by trying to give the Spirit a place that in the economy of the thought that the Spirit doesn't take. That's why I understand the truth.
That's the real force of of what you're saying is this, that no Christian can say, I can get on very well on my own. You need a company, right? So there's a good operation in the company can take these things and show them.
Mr. McGraw's meetings at Bradford. Mr. Hall suggested something. He said, I've been regarding it. I wouldn't like to press it, but I don't know what it means. When the Lord was speaking of the Spirit, he shall be with you and shall be in you. If why would he put one of the verbs in the present tense and one of them in the future? And I come to the conclusion that the Spirit was with them in the Lord, he's with you now. Well, not child, but the Lord is coming when the Spirit will make you into you. So if he was questioned on the day, he said, I've no more to say about it than that. And personally, I've come to agree. That's the one law, but I have. And it was just rather striking way before this objective aspect of the Spirit came on. I wondered if it was a prophetic word.
Taking your place, you need to be superseded.
Yes, that would have been, yes. Well, it's better.
not necessarily concerned
about but the glory is in the face of Jesus Christ. Well, yes, we might have said, of course, you don't get any further glory here, but the very fact that the Spirit coming down and filling the whole house and filling everyone of them, and this is a reminder of this. But the Spirit of God doesn't mean your little mind or my little mind and the way to keep the thing going. He's quite capable of keeping it all going.
Almost has to the end of the age, and the second effect of the years, and being the good commanders, and the reflex of
Christ. Yes.
The Lord.
Now, this is what the Spirit is forming here. Not so much what they might understand about the glory of Christ and things like that, is what the Spirit is actually bringing into being at this very moment. Now, he sat upon each of them. And our old brother and chief, so used to say, have you ever heard about the Chancellor sitting on the road set? Well, yes, takes possession of the house. That's the idea, he said. Sat upon each of them, he takes possession of them for God. Well,
I came across a remark the other day which certainly made me think, and I doubt not to be shot at as well. The young brethren used to say that in a certain sense the church added nothing to Christ. The church had received nothing but what had been derived from Christ, and in that way the church added nothing to Christ. It's this word for aroma or compliment which is in mind, I mean, it has to be denied in that way. Surely all that comes from a man of God, right?
Yes. I'm afraid I confused the issue because the words are not the same compliment and blow on that, but still the two things are true, I think, at the body. Being true in the power of the Holy Spirit of man. Compliment to Christ himself. That's the way that he is one of compliment of him that goes on and on.
But the first of Ephesians, I think, definitely means that Christ views it as a mystic man, leading the church to be complete.
Yes, I think what the brethren will press on
the Ephesians, I don't think for a whole day,
the whole part of it, I think to get the blessed Tony and the glory in one out of the temple in the second chapter, then to lay down that this man. But I think what the early brethren were after was that God came to be the person of the blessed one who's up there to see that the church is derived nothing but what they got from him.
In order that it's Christ first and not the church, not the church and not Christ.
A great mystery, if I speak concerning Christ.
Yes.
Then I had a point of all my big performance.
Now we know that in between the verses where we ended, verse 4, the verse where we resumed again, verse 37, that Peter had been standing up and testifying in the Gospel, I suppose we do, where the human mind can be clearest, the apostle you remember in Ephesians speaks of the mystery of the Gospel. And what has been done from this, the first gospel preaching that ever took place. As you see how the very gospel brought these things to light, it was going out to effectuate the mystery. And I believe when the preacher's coming in at the end, sure, how those things are beginning to take shape under the preaching of the gospel. It wasn't there to ever be believed the sinners, it was there to form the body of Christ.
Just before you go on to that, could you just say something about this? Not only that he sat upon them, but they were all filled. They were all filled. Now, in Ephesians 1, it says that after that we believed the gospel of your salvation, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of God. And we speak about the indwelling of the Holy Ghost.
Is this something different, this Philip?
Well, it can happen that the official that you call the Mr. Doherty, the official of the Ephesians, and later on he said, be not drunk with wine wherein it exists, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, he doesn't say that I have the Spirit, or he's seated with the Spirit. The word definitely seen by the Spirit. But it does seem as though being filled with the Spirit is a practical movement on my side in relation to it, that I'm allowing the Spirit to have his way with me.
But it was so from the commencement.
Of the Spirit. Of the Spirit. Oh, yes, it was. Of course, I don't think that's in its beginning, so say it in perfection.
Well, I know the man. As to saying it up some capability, this I have been touched upon, do you think there's importance in the fact that they were found gathered together for a 10-day prayer meeting in the first chapter? Now, is there room today, you think, for similar energies as together in waiting upon God, this in connection with being filled with the Spirit?
Well, yes, of course, one would certainly recommend that for everybody. Waiting upon God, but it isn't quite the case here, is it not?
No, it was just the allusion to the practical matter alluded to in the speech of being filled with the Spirit, because if there's one need to say that apparent on every side is the matter of being filled with the Spirit, and it was just an opportunity, one thought, of again bringing forward this matter which I'm afraid I'm always talking about, the need of waiting upon God.
Oh, well, we, of course, we agree with that.
Yes, perfect. When?
You see, you don't normally get the filling of the Spirit being, you get the sealing as well. You see, well, it isn't talk here. The Spirit of God that come to stay in this company and form them together to be really that. Various aspects in which we attend, but we find more, of course, with the necessity of that. And me, I just looked at the clock, that's what made me just move a little bit. But we might sort of say something about when they spoke. It was by the Spirit. I think we might acknowledge that here we are, we expect another open meetings next week. Well, it doesn't follow because I'm enjoying some little word myself that I found in the word. I've got to get up and talk about it in a sentence. As a matter of fact, if we regard it as we should, the prophetic word in its solemnity, we'd rather sit still than get up. And I mean, I say that as one that's constantly addressing the sin. And the solemnity of it, that you're reporting that you've got a word from the Lord that you're given to the saints and can only be given in the power of the Spirit. You're assuming you've got that Spirit and you've got that word and you're able to do the same. And I think my going to check on me just jumping up at any old moment to say something to the Spirit when probably they'd have got something from the Lord that kept him out close and sat still.
This was a peculiar thing, if you want to know, for they were one accord in one place waiting for the fulfillment of the promise of God.
Well, coming. Well, somebody I think summed it all up, and that's why we didn't say any more about it, and that was obedience. Somebody summed it up in that one way, the Lord had told them to do it that way, and they were waiting, see. And that's why we said a little earlier, they must sit before they can stand. Now, the waiting period has resulted in this, the Spirit is there, now the time has come to get up and testify in the power of the Spirit. But don't let us, it brings us back, of course, to what our brother was saying, even in practice with us today. Don't let us get up, stand up to testify if we haven't been saved.
Waiting in obedience, Mr. Davidson, it would mean that we were divested of anything in connection with our own thoughts and our own desires and purposes, wouldn't it? Anything for the Lord to fill.
That's been good for the Spirit, all right. Yes, right.
You're setting one to show it now, isn't it? Full of fear. Full of joy. That's right.
Correct. does not live over in any way or form, and I said exclusion, exclusion. That is, there's no room for anything else, the thing is completely good with it.
I think we could make a lot of trouble if you're asking for it, about the intelligence. Visions are the scripture visions. These are drunk with water, but they filled with the Spirit. And if we are not filled with the Spirit, it's sun that's coming and entering.
Yes.
Okay.
I think that will come out in 1 Corinthians 12, won't it?
Yes. You see, we make difficulties in speaking to those that are not educated. We think, well, because we're not educated, we're not able to give expression to words of the Holy Spirit, which those that listen can understand. But I will feel this, that if one is led of the Spirit will give him words to say, which will be in accord with the mind of the Lord, but those that listen can hear.
A spiritual man will always talk.
Yes.
That's what comes out in the chapter, that the marvelous scene of the Spirit's activity here is testimony.
Well, the best testimony goes out, you see, in relation to Christ having been raised in glory by faith, and established in heaven now in a saving capacity, and he demanded out on the side of now responsibility. There was no responsibility about the first four verses, it's more what we call privilege. It all was given to them. But it begins on the side of responsibility when the members of that body are going to be brought in. A responsibility to bow to that man of the glory and all of his law, coming in with the forgiveness of sins, was qualifying it by baptism, which again brings in the reception of the Holy Spirit of God. That's how the body's being called. So when the accused appeared there, not like the crowd in chapter 6, you remember with Stephen, rather frankly says they were cut to the heart, no hair. As being frankly said, they cut their flesh but not their affection. But these people are upraised in their hearts, holy as has gone right on this word. And immediately they say now, what are we to do? What are we supposed to do? We can thank God that in very simple terms, life has given us through the gospel, that we can answer to on our suffering, and incidentally we are moving in relation to the mystery of the gospel, and probably we didn't know anything at all about
it.
Yes, that's right. Yes, then the door far off and we were married. Quotation from Isaiah 57.
When Peter, of course, by the Holy Ghost, can speak of this, is because he has a definite scripture. He has the 110th Psalm, hasn't he? The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make my foes like a stool. So that whilst a man is indwelt by the Spirit of God, he's not saying anything that's not in the scriptures.
Spirit being in the scripture.
I mean, a person might come along and say any of things and say, well, I've received this from the Spirit of God. Well, you would make a test whether it's of the Spirit of God or not as to whether it's in the Word of God.
Let him speak, as the oracles of God.
So that you would make him speak with conviction too, can't we? We have the Word of God.
The law to the prophets, yes. That's a test for everybody. Yes.
What the rest?
They say,
not according to this word, it's because there's no end of it.
There's no divine form of the life.
But often, illiterate brothers, we might say, alert us in our thought history far more than those that are well educated. The reason why I say this is God has given to each of us the Holy Spirit to indwell. He's lent us the word that the Holy Spirit might bring before us Christ. He's given us faith that we might lay hold of these things. So that a simple brother can be used of the Lord to give to help me and you in our pathway far better often than those that are well educated. Because I can know the word of God. You supposing I could quote every word here? You'll perhaps agree with me in this way. Brothers have spoken to us and they've left us cold. Knowing the word, the scriptures are clear, is knowing the letter of the word and not the spirit. So the Holy Spirit is given to me and you that he might confirm the word to us, and the word speaks of what was only one interpretation of the word of God, and that's Christ. There's multitude of applications, but the Holy Spirit will bring the word from this brother or that brother to me. And so, feed my soul upon Christ.
Well, getting back to this truth of the body, I don't think we began with the ministry of the word. What we're on with is the formation of the body. And we want to show if we can, if we spend too much time on these sidelines, we're going to lose the thread. That would be the difficulty. See? The point we have found was this body form. And I don't think it's of interest to us to notice these two things that are working together. From the divine side, from heaven, in the energy of the Spirit of God. And how we might say it works from man's side, in responsibility of God. Now the one thing that brings us in the line with the purpose of God, the thing that brings us and makes us available as material in this way, is the proclamation of the glad tidings that we on our side have received in faith. And now righteous, we've learned that the reason that gospel reached us is because we were potential material.
When you speak of our side, it's still the word of God, isn't it? Going on in the souls of them who are going to believe, those who are going to be formed into the body of Christ. I'm thinking now that what's been suggested in the parenting and what we've started with, we're going back now on to the original counsel and purpose, and that which God has counseled and purpose, he's going to see through. And now he's taking up the material, working with them to produce the very persons that are going to form that mystical body.
Yes. But there is a sign of responsibility in that, but it has to be taken account of. Well, then God is not overriding that and dispensing with it. The thing is completely unsaid. That's what I'm trying to get to eventually. Here are these people that have received that testimony. Conscious of their distance from God, how are we going to live with this distance? What are we going to do? Not what is God doing, what are we going to do? That's what comes in now, which we do. Well, the simple answer has been for every one of us, what we have done is we believe the gospel.
This is the action here. This is the action. You see, of course, yes, it's the wrong generation. Well, that's a sophisticated line, isn't it?
It is, yes.
I have in mind, you know, and I wish for to be enlightened, that everything that I have to do in relation to God ceases to be responsibility, but becomes privilege. And the reason why I say that is that love must be at the root of it, and love delights to serve.
And if you're not serving me, if I'm not fit to serve yet, Mr. Meeks, you'll have to say that in what we are saying, that the gospel has gone out to this world to those that have sinned against God, and it was the means that God is using in a sinful world to bring to light those that he has marked out for a place in this wonderful thing. And money is you, and so was I, responsible to believe the gospel. Well, now we can believe the gospel. And I think that we prepared for these last two verses that we read together, that having gladly received his word. Now that's where we began.
I'm going to come back to this point. But as a Christian, after being converted,
I won't be happy now. Well, we're just coming to that now. We say we have gladly received his word with that time.
That isn't a sovereign operation,
then. No, that isn't anything sovereign about it at all. I hear that sovereignly God marked me down for this, but I can move on down to the person that was responsible to do it. And here we are, thank God we've done it.
And the gospel finds us out, isn't it?
Why does it be? I hear I'm going to write to that, Mr. Gavin. Let me be just in this position in some places to tell you, you're wasting your time preaching the gospel like this. Not that it is the very means that God is using to effectuate the ministry. That's why we keep on.
To bring to light the materials.
So I see. And the outward manifestation would be baptism on the one hand, happily, and accepting the word of God, bringing us into this country. That's the outward manifestation of it.
You think we see it in a very simple way today? We continue steadfastly in the Apostles' doctrine. That was quite right to do. Mark you, that meant the abandonment of the synagogue and the sinless Christ and all these people on the block. You see, that's what meant then. That the acceptance was something completely new that most of it they couldn't even find in their own scriptures.
That's the real force of baptism, isn't it?
That is the thing. That's right. Dissociation, as we often say, because of association.
That is from the nation.
Well, from the nation, you put that right across, Mr. Broadway. And then say to ourselves, from this whole generation, that was the Jew that was culpably a beauty now in the sight of God because of what they were doing.
And is the forgiveness of sins here, or is it national?
No. Mark you, they are still using in the written word of God as a nation. The Gentiles never did. And hence there was more involved with the Jews changing Israel than ever they could be with us. They had something divine to give up. We never had anything divine to give up. And that was not out for something more.
But I didn't receive the forgiveness of sins through being baptized.
Well, no. Then again, as has been said, it was the outward manifestation of the conviction of this, the real stand that you are taking in your faith. You are quite prepared to confess that in baptism. I don't mean publicly, because I don't think baptism is public. But it was an external testimony that you gave, that you were dissociating yourself, or then dissociating from the nation in association with these apostolic companies.
No, absolutely, all were impressed and told it what God has done, that God has made the same use whom we have crucified. So there he is. Now God comes in, and it's righteousness to follow what God has done. God has made the same.
If we began now emphasizing that the first coming down came from heaven, that this is a heavenly conception, that baptism's not from heaven. That has to do with our base of earth and association with the coming.
Were you consistent with that?
No, we were not.
But is there not some association with the law in baptism?
Well, we said we do, Mr. Dissociation and association, the two together. But then he's come into the company where Christ is confessed as well. He's the center of it.
Yes. But there is a sense in which many bring dissociation in baptism and leave it there.
Oh, yes.
But there is, I think, the sense of
that. Oh, yes, we must hold that.
Absolutely.
Isn't there something in this word
is this word of salvation, subjectively, they were to take these steps themselves.
Yes.
And that's it.
Yes. That's why I told you, men, about Mr. Boyd in present salvation. Here are the sins of God, not the same from sitting on these seats today. When a man said that he's saved from hell, he said, rubbish. If you tell me at the end of the battle, will you show you're not willing to lay the fight or whatever, what are you saved from sitting on that seat? And we don't get someone like that from saying the world and say them, yeah, that's it, is that it? And that doesn't come there, so he's saved through all night, of course not.
The judgment of the unborn generation will come out in the 70s.
They are not dead, they overthrow that
nation. There is nothing left to that nation.
They get the Lord's strong word of repentance in Luke 13, in that section.
Yes.
That he repents into all likewise perish in the 80s.
Would you like to say that a sinner's gospel comes to us to feel the grace of God? And when he's converted, only to the knowledge of these things, wherein I have been responsible in accepting God's message.
Well, yes, you see, that's why we preach and press upon men right in their responsibility. But my reason for going on with the gospel is to put it very simply, Mr. Jesus put it out, it brings to mind God's elect. That's what it is, isn't it? If God is using anything else in this world, it is gospel to bring to mind his elect. And that's why I want to come to one of it.
That's why the gospel can't be
dissociated
from the truth of the
mystery. The mystery of the gospel, and no one knew that better than the great apostle Paul.
So that it may be clear, I just like to ask a further question. You said that God in his sovereignty had elected us for blessing. Is it possible in our responsibility to miss that?
No. No. But the point is, God tells you you're responsible to believe the gospel and he gives you the faith to do it. If you do it, then it's put to your account. We often say, even as a Christian, you can't do anything right except God helps you. But the fact that you do it, he puts it to your account. Ephesians says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not the same way. It is the gift of God, but it's put to your account if you believe the gospel.
But it doesn't alter the responsibility of all. God commanded all men everywhere.
That's the whole point. From the point of view of some of our young brothers, you might say, God knows who's going to believe. He knew it all in that. Just he brings them to that.
I don't know each of us. That's why the way he's got to go on with the gospel. So you preach whosoever wills, because God knows who's going to believe it.
He knew it all in that.
But the Lord said, no man cometh unto me except my
Father.
And you see, you've come to a point where you're shown your condition, you've come to yourself. Is that positively? And you own yourself. We get that all the way through Scripture. Even in the first words that God said to Adam. He said that when Adam had sinned, and he did himself in the garden, and God of that. When Cain killed his brother Abel, God said to him, what hast thou done? And the Lord comes to us, where are you in relation to God's things? And what have you done with them? Taking the mind of God in relation to the sin.
Well, now, we just have this one verse to continue with, I think, in verse 42.
Before you read that, Lord, do you think it might just be added in connection with the end of verse 41, the character of the way God is working today?
You're thinking in contrast to the law?
Yes,
I thought it was in your mind. There were three times of slain that wasn't when the Lord was given.
Right.
Exodus 32.
Oh, yes.
3,000 converted when grace is operating in the part of the state.
I know it all. But I think it just helps when person realize the character of the day in which we live. God is working in grace.
I know you're keen on these points. You're not my
coming out again on the front. Did you know the real Monday Christmas coincident with the beard of all given? Well, of course it comes out again.
That's the advantage of having this point out.
That's right. Anybody who has to dress it up will find there it can be found that the real Monday Christmas was exactly coincident with the beard that Moses was given the law for it. Well, I would say they condemn and stand elsewhere in the Apostles' Doctrine. No longer now in Judaism. I mean, we say that today. We're not casting slight on the divine system. But when God brings in a divine system and supersedes it by a greater divine system, to the one where what God has superseded is to go on with something different. That's what Judaism became. And hence they transferred to something of an entirely new character that was introduced in an apostolic way and the power of the Holy Spirit of God come down from heaven. I think we should emphasize that, come down from heaven. Because he clearly is going to be brought in again on the earthly side in a spirit of God, but not quite coming down from heaven. You remember the reference is in the Psalms of the Guided God from Zion. But today it comes out from heaven.
It will be a strong protective consideration that this new other that was coming in, one, was definitely material. And the other is spiritual, and it's on the principle of faith. You see, when a person is born again, he's given the Holy Spirit. And if he has the word of God, and everything that will feed him is that which is spiritual, which comes from heaven, there's a new nature, the power of that, the new life, that power of life is the Holy Spirit of God, and is that everything that he has to do with now is outside earth, and it's heavenly.
Well, coming out here, what we're trying to show, you see, we're emphasizing these things, Mr. Meek, because you've already asked about the function of the body. If you did give us a chance to emphasize them, we're given what we believe are leading points here. Because we find, I think, when we turn to the body, about certain gifts given. And they're not given in relation to, shall we say, the prophetic word of the Psalms. They get them all together in relation to the truth of the assembly. And that's what's beginning here in the Apostles' Doctrine. Not that we are apostles today, we are only one section of gift, but they are the ones. And showing, you see, that the Spirit of God has vessels in this world that's going to continue that work that has begun in the commencement of this chapter. I don't think we want to get hold of that before we go to meeting. It is continuation on the principle of gift in the center. And hence we find it working out here, they continue to stand past that and the Apostle God. We said about that word blood as a word that means it went on. Well, either something that begins apostolically, but something that's going on. It's been going on nearly 2,000 years at this point. Will you want to speak, Mr. Buchan? I want to tell you trying to say something. Pretty much like the prophetic word being mentioned first, you remember. Because it is only by divine teaching we can find out the truth of any gift, or any, shall we say, any principle connected with this company. Must come first.
Connecting it too with the second of Hebrews, you would say, wouldn't you? That was first spoken unto us by the Lord, and confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Having, of course, with signs and miracles, divers miracles and wonders, but here we have it first hand from the apostles themselves, who were accompanied with the Lord, who had the word from the Lord himself. And now they're making it known in teaching to those who are being converted.
The result is it formed a complete new fellowship. Here we are in Naturalism today. I'm not saying we're in the liberal and apostolic fellowship. It's the fellowship even if we didn't enjoy it with the apostles. That's where it began.
So that in the midst of all the confusion that is in the world today, you will make them get back to that which was commenced at the very start of the history of the assembly. You will make an act according to what it says here, can't we? And that's where we are home today, isn't it?
Well, strangely, when you reminded us about the Hebrews, I don't know that I've quite thought about it that way before, but you remember in the last chapter, that's the very thing he speaks about. We never know that. That the Hebrews said the first tabernacle had no right to eat. We have completely new circle of fellowship on its outside the gate. Here it is, and it's commenced.
And the willingness to hear the apostles' teaching is the test as to whether a person is of God or not.
Yes, that's John's epistle. John's epistle is, he that is not God, he is of God.
Well, you know that remark, but as it follows the first remark, the next epistle of John tells them a church that wouldn't have the apostles. That's where Christian is today.
Yes.
The
very verse
that is on my mind. First, because this word fellowship today is being used rather, isn't it? Fellowship. Well, yes, it springs out of the apostle doctrine. We haven't got the verbal ministry of the apostles, but we have the written ministry of the apostles, and that is the basis of fellowship.
I must say I was much stubborn a year or two ago to notice that. We have a church that wouldn't have an apostle. In other words, they weren't going to have apostolic ministry. You can ask just about whether or not they're in prison, isn't it?
Well, listen to the words of the Lord Jesus, that this man, Paul, well, we're going to pray over Paul, you meet it more often than you like me.
Well, as all this fellowship, the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, a fellowship that wasn't based any longer on peace offerings on the altar. A fellowship based all together on this new divine spiritual life that is used in our sort of way in the Holy Spirit. Our name is Mr. Duffy, and that will remind us, thank God, we are richer and enjoy it today. And then we must not forget about the formal answer to that and then breaking the bread. It was a fellowship that was attached to and surrounding an absent Lord who went.
If the word of fellowship is used at least three times in the Christian epistles, the expression of fellowship comes out in connection with the question of
God is faithful, who has called us unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. That's where it begins for us.
When you speak about getting back, have you in mind as individual or collective?
Well, did I say getting back? I think I rather said that it's available still staying in that which it's available in the Bible scripture now. Of course, one can only be there individually, however much we may enjoy association of the company. I thought that's right, Mr. Head. When you can't get me there, you know, neither can I get you there, but I'd like to go on with you there.
And in fact, I don't think we can dissociate them. It was the teaching that formed the fellowship.
I was
looking
at the amendment in the
new translation,
right, that the teaching and fellowship is so closely associated.
Quite honest, it was a long time before I saw those 2 points. Why one was the complement of the other? I believe them in the ear, of course. It was their doctrine. Something so entirely new that formed the very fellowship in which they were brought.
How can two grow together except to be agreed?
Well, that brings that back to the regular presence of the doctrine and the doctrine. Did they receive it from the Lord, or was it through the Spirit?
Well, certainly I don't know, and I think they received it in a threefold way. It came from the Lord, through the Spirit, via the Apostle. And in breaking of bread, the great, what shall we say, bond of the fellowship is probably the best way we've heard about it.
that as great as the whole of privileges connected with us in the Christian company, the renunciation law. You may remember that while the law in the 11th of 1 Corinthians speaks of the law body, as I believe it does in the 10th, yet it does in the 10th that we, being many, are one bread, for we are all the figures of that one law. Sometimes being said that law on the table secondarily speaks of the saints, but for myself I don't think that's what it does say. It's the Lord's body. That's what the law speaks of all. But the fact that you do it and I do it will become one in the fact that we do it. And that's the teaching of chapter 10.
And that's what you get in that chapter, that they that keep the sacrifices, they show that they were included in the altar.
But the formation of this body, God himself set the stamp of his holiness upon it, didn't he? We haven't read the verses, but it goes down to say, doesn't it, that those who had houses of man sold it and laid the money at the apostles' feet. You know, many of the outsiders have been suggested that they might have said, oh, this is fine, this is the company that we're going to join ourselves to. We don't need to work even and to join this company. All these rich people have all pooled the money. We just go in and we get a share of it. But God showed the stamp of his holiness, didn't he? In the cutting off of Ananias and Sapphira, even as we would say, just for telling a lie. That's being said, you know, that men won't tell the lie after that that wasn't struck down dead. But God at the very commencement, setting the seal of his holiness upon this company that was going to form the body of Christ. He not only formed it, but he excluded everything that was unreal.
With fire, you see.
Yes.
And it says, following your vocation and of the rest, no man dare join himself unto them. Not the rest.
Yes, but we as a verb, stay, as to the wonderful privilege which we enjoy now at the present dispensation in having in our midst, and that fact we see. The very things that came out of the commencement of the dispensation.
I think that's what Mr. Dudley had in mind in calling attention to, and that we can thank God that he, when we speak of recovery, as Mr. Hare referred to, actually what we have meant is that the light of the thing has been recovered in faithful men, and we can move on the light of it today.
We've really shaken up in the 27th of Acts, and when they cast their more anxious and for the dead.